This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the mother and father of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, Little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he had commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Most of us have probably seen the movie Saving Private Ryan that begins on D-Day with the landing on Omaha Beach. The soldiers on the beach were led by General Norman Cota, who courageously exhorted his men to try to break through the high concrete wall that the Germans had built. He opened up his epic speech with the words, There are only two kinds of men who are going to remain on this beach, those who are dead and those who are going to die. Well, if you'll pardon the illustration, this condition, those who are dead and those who are going to die, describes two of the people in today's gospel passage. The characters, Jairus' daughter and the woman who was suffering with hemophilia. Jesus had just gotten off the boat, and it's probably the town of Capernaum where he is, and immediately he's mobbed by this huge crowd of people. One of the ones who met him was Jairus, who the passage says was a synagogue ruler. Now, this guy is more or less like the chairman of the church's main board. He tended to the business of the synagogue and might have been a lay teacher every now and then. And he greets Jesus, pleading with the Lord to come to his house and heal his daughter. The text tells us Jairus fell at Jesus' feet. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she may live. 50s reaching out to Jesus, believing that somehow, some way, this itinerant rabbi could heal his daughter. Desperate people are sometimes willing to try almost anything to have a need met. Is that true? He had no doubt heard that Jesus had done a lot of healing and miracles, and he was willing to reach out. But does this often mirror how we act? If we do a little bit of self-examination here, we're desperate. We're down to our last out, to use a baseball term, needing a miracle. So we go to Jesus. So Jesus agreed to go with Jairus. The immense crowd mobs Jesus all the more, and you can imagine that Jesus' walk towards Jairus' house was like going the opposite direction into a stadium when all the people in the stadium are trying to leave. Just an absolute chaotic scene. So Jesus is pushing his way through this mass of people when he stops and says, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this freaks out the disciples who see this crowd, and they're literally hundreds of thousands of people who are crowding around Jesus. And he still asks the question, "Who touched my clothes?" And then he turns around and sees this little old lady behind him. She came up to Jesus also in desperation, and her only thought was, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." This is faith. She had a horrible disease where she would bleed and bleed with the slightest bump, scratch, or whatever. The text tells us that she had spent everything she had on doctors, and no one could heal her. And Mark says that she even got worse. So what did she do? She reached out in her desperation over her situation. She went to Jesus. In her fearful condition, believing that Jesus was her only hope, her last resort, she reached out to the Lord. She needed relief. She needed healing. She needed to be made well, and she knew that her only hope was to touch Jesus. And she also came trembling. She came with that sense of awe and respect. She didn't come casually demanding something of Jesus like he owed it to her. And therein lies our description of what's key to this passage. She humbly reached out to Jesus, knowing he was her last resort. She didn't come up there saying, "Come on, Lord, do your thing and heal me." Matter of fact, she was not in that position or condition to be able to be that flippant about it. She was desperate, and she came trembling humbly. And her need was real. She wasn't going to Jesus because she was upset over a minor inconvenience. She wasn't bothered by the fact that the restaurant didn't have Wi-Fi. She wasn't upset over the fact that she wanted to get cosmetic surgery on her chin. She wasn't upset because her wardrobe wasn't as good as that of her co-workers. She knew she was going to die, frankly. And so she went to Jesus humbly. Folks, if this passage right here tells us anything, it says that when we have a real need, when we're truly caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place, the thing to do is to reach out to Jesus and do so in faith, but also do so humbly with respect, like that woman. She did. What did Jesus tell her? He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." It was her faith. She believed Jesus would heal her. She believed that if she could just touch him, she would be made well. She exercised faith when she respectfully and humbly reached out her hand, and she was healed. And the reason this point is being emphasized is because she exercised faith. She took action on her faith. She put her faith in practice and wasn't content with just the abstract nuances of, "Well, yes, if we go to Jesus, he'll touch me and I'll be healed." She reached out and she touched the Lord. now. By this time, the little girl had died, and folks from Jairus' house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" They saw her die, but they were willing to give up. It's over. It's done. You know, don't bother Jesus anymore. They didn't even believe Jesus could do anything about it. But alas, what was Jesus' reply to Jairus and to them when they came and told Jairus, "Your daughter's dead, don't bother Jesus anymore"? What did Jesus say? He said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." You see, Jairus' daughter here is something like a metaphor, if you will. For us, she represents our own physical condition, possibly. She represents a dream that God might have given us years ago. She represents for us those who are seriously ill, over whom we are desperately concerned. She represents for us the sense of mission and purpose that God has given to each one of us. And she represents for us those who have waited for years for all the waiting and have seen nothing. Jesus went to Jairus' house and saw the crowd weeping, and he told them to stop it, that the girl was only sleeping. They laughed. They thought they knew better, and that's our problem. They had seen people die before, and they had seen those dreams die before. And they were so arrogant and confident of their own belief that they laughed at Jesus. Imagine some people being so prideful and full of themselves that they laugh at the Lord Jesus himself when he says, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." And you see, for all of us who have those dreams that we're struggling with in life and believe that we've been given a dream to do something big for God, are we willing to listen to those people who are weeping and wailing and saying, "It's over, it's done, it's finished"? Or do we listen to Jesus who said, "The child is not dead, but sleeping"? You see, sometimes that dream, our hopes and wishes, lie dormant for a season, or maybe even years. But if the Lord has said it, it will happen. Do we listen to the world and its conventional wisdom, or do we listen to Jesus and what Jesus had to say? Jesus told them to go away. He put them out of the house, basically threw them out. It says he cleared the house. He told them to go away. He got them all out of there, and he went in. He took Jairus, his wife, Peter, James, and John, and then he said, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise." She got up. She was healed. She was revived. That one whom we might have given up for dead lived. That dormant dream, or that call from God that we've been waiting to see fulfilled, was still alive. In our opening story, Norman Cota's men got off the beach. The living didn't die. And for our gospel story today, our two significant subjects lived. One was healed, one was raised from the dead. And that's our lesson. If we're stuck, if we feel like we have nowhere left to go, or we believe our dream is dead, we reach out to Jesus, who told us, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And our next step then is to get off the beach and move ahead and move inland. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.